Parshas Kisete is a parasha that discusses, parasha begins with going out to war. Kisete melchom alevecho, a person goes out to war, alevecho, on the enemy, v'nosnei Hashem lekecho b'yodecho, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him, Hashem will give him in your hand, v'shavisa shivyoi, and you'll capture. So the Kliyoko, there's a famous Kliyoko over here, that has many, many issues with Poshut Peshat this Pasuk. When a person goes out to war, it's generally a majority, it's generally a group of people going out to make war. You don't have one person going out to make war. Yeah? One person going to have a fight. You don't have one person making a war. So this Kiseitzel Mechom Alevecho should be talking a Lashon Rabbim. Should be talking about where a majority, where a group of people go out to make war. And with all that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, v'shavisa shivyoi, and each person can get capturing people. Yeah, but the lashon of going out to war as a single person seems to be very difficult to understand when you're talking about a war. So the Kliyoka has a very beautiful explanation about the war that we're referring to over here. And he said it's referring to a person's own personal battle, a person's own personal fight against his Yetzer Hara. And when a person goes out to war, and he discusses how Kodesh Baruch Hu will help the person, and he'll get Shavisa Shavia, have a look over there. It's a little bit complicated, so I want to just bring a more poshut pshat from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that a person has an actual battle with the Yetzer Hara. And every single day, this battle renews itself. And the Gemara says in Brachos that were it not that Kadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, were it not that Kadosh Baruch Hu would help a person, Lo Yochalei, it would be impossible for a person to have the clarity to see past his Yetzer Hara, and he would fall into the clutches of his desire. And with that, the Chassam Sofer explains the Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah in Ovis says, "Em eina ni li mili." Okay, atzmi moani ve'im la'ach shalei masai. Im ein ani li mili. If it's not for me, im ein ani li mili. If I'm not for myself, who am I? In other words, this is what the Pasuk is telling me over here, that a person cannot expect any kind of siyata d'shmaya, any kind of help at all from Shemayim, unless a person understands that he has an obligation to make decisions himself. He has an obligation to go out and to make battle. He is responsible for his actions. You can't blame it on your parents, and you can't blame it on your family, and you can't blame it on your society or your environment or your teachers or anything else. That is modern day, I don't know, psychology or Freud, whatever it is blaming on everyone else. They should change. And then, no, today's society is a fact, is blamed with all its ills, is understanding that everyone else should do everything else, and they change, I don't have to change. Kiseitse l'molchom alevecha means when a person goes out on himself, and he goes out and makes a war, then, im eina nili mili, understands that it's all about me, I have to go out to battle, I can't rely on anyone else doing the battle for me, then, v'nosona Hashem lekecha b'yodecha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the power to overcome it. You're right. If I am myself, who am I? There's no way I can win this Yetzer Hara. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pesachli, Pesach Kukhul Shal Machat, open for me a opening that is a eye of a needle. Vani Eftach Lachon, I'll open up Kepisach Shal Ulam, like a size of a hallway, like a huge area. But it has to be a pinprick which goes all the way through, a real serious dedicated effort on your behalf, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help you. So the Pasuk Kiseitzel Melchom Alevecho is referring to going out on a single. Each person has his own battles, each person has his own potentials, each person has his own failings, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu expects us to go out and fight, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give us the Shavisa Shivya, and we will capture the Yetzer Hara, and even those Averis that have been in the past, those who are against us, will be Zechuyos, will be merits for us if it's done in the correct way of Tshuva Ma'ava. And that is our Veda. Our Veda of Elul is more than the rest of the year. It's our Kodesh Baruch Hu is closer to us. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is expecting us now to change in this month the failings that we've been practiced and become part of us the rest of the year, to become going out to war, to take this month now and to be there. And that's what Pasuk says. And you take this Yetzer Hara and you bring it into your house. For a whole month. For a whole month. It cries for the Yetzer Hara. You're taking it and it cries for its mother and for its father. And it wants to go back. And you subdue it and eventually you kick it out. Eventually you get rid of it. That's different than Beforshim say that. That is a Kleach of Edel. This is the battle that one has in Edel. That is what the Pasuk's talking about over here. Kisei Tzemachal Ma'alevech. Now, Rashi has a very interesting explanation of how one is permitted to take this Shavisa Shiva. What's a Shavisa Shiva? What's this referring to? This is referring to what you call it, a fast toya. A fast toya is a ancient method of the women in those times to adorn themselves and try and connect themselves with the winning with the winning team. In other words, they are about they could know that it could be difficult times ahead of them, and their husbands may be killed in battle, and they may be killed in battle. So what they used to do was, they used to adorn themselves, used to dress themselves up, and hopefully be taken as spoil, hopefully be taken by the enemies, and be save their life. And a person goes out to battle, Klal Yisrael go out to battle, and they see, Shavisa Shivya, and they see this Yifastoy, they see this woman that they have a desire for, and the Torah says that you take her back home. There's different explanations exactly what one's allowed to do until one takes her back home. It's a Gemara Machlekes and the Gemara. But you take her back home and take her back home with you, and you take off those clothes that she wore that makes herself look more attractive. You put on her very basic clothes, and she sits there and she cries. And when she cries, she's not necessarily the most attractive in her personality too. For a whole month she's sitting there with her red eyes crying her past and mothers and her fathers and old food that she had, and you take her and you do, you know, don't let her do her nails and her hair, all different things, and eventually you see the clarity, you see what's going on, you take her. If you want to keep her, you keep her. If not, you throw her out. That's Yifas Toya. So Rashi says, what is this Yifas Toya? What is this all about? So he says in Pasuk Yudalef, V'lekachto l'chol le'isho lo dibra toira elo k'neged yetzer hara. The Torah is only working against the Yetzer Hara. Shem ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matiro. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow you to take her, yesi eno be'issa. You'll marry her be'issa, you'll take her be'issa. In other words, a person will not be able to control themselves, and by doing so, a person will do an issa. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I allow you to take her, I give you full permission to take her in this particular sequence, in this particular way of doing it. But I'm just telling you, if you eventually do marry her, yeah, you're going to hate her, and that's the smichus of parasha. That's why the parasha carries on, where you're going to hate her and eventually going to have a ben sorah meira. It's not going to be great, but the Torah is giving you a legal way out to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Now the Chazal and the Mefarshim asks, the Nine of Torah asks, that this sounds very much like legalizing drugs. You know, you want to cut down. There's a very terrible criminal element of drugs, right? It's illegal to take certain substances. So there's two ways of dealing with it. One way of dealing with it is eradicating the suppliers and the racketeers and those people who are, you know, who are trafficking the drugs, right? That's one way of dealing with it, and stopping it that way and imprisoning those people who are selling the drugs. Another way of dealing with it is cutting down the crime ring by not making it a crime. Amazing. The statistics show that when you legalize drugs, crime goes down. Of course crime goes down, because beforehand it was illegal to have drugs. So now you're legalizing the drug trade, and therefore you're cutting down on crime.
They mean
as much as crime, right? But that is what it comes, obviously, it means other crimes as well. But what is going on over here? The Torah tells us that it's also to have certain relationships. It's also to have a relationship with a mother, with a sister, with an aunt, with an Ashes Ish, with a married woman. And over here, and therefore the Torah doesn't say, you know what, we are going to cut the Isurim, we're going to make it not so osa, and therefore we're going to allow you to marry your mother. I mean, well, what kind of thing is this? So here, it's osa to have a relationship with this kind of woman, yeah? I'm not going into exactly why it is osa, what is muta, and what relationship that is. That's far more complicated. But whatever it is, there's a certain Yetzirah that the Torah is allowing us in order, because to otherwise things will go terrible. That is giving into the Yetzer Hara. That is legalizing the drug trade. What is the idea behind this? What is Peshat over here? The Torah allows you to do this, not anywhere else. So it's not the Torah says this very cryptically, but there's many other places where the Balaam also explains this in more length. And that's like this. That a person in an environment that he's used to, a person who is in a society where there are barriers, where he's living in a society that he's been brought up in, and he's running his day-to-day life, he is in a healthy society, certainly in a firm society, he is protected in many ways. He has his wife, he has his rabbi, he has his friends. He's dealing in a world where it would not be looked at favorably if he would misbehave. When a person goes out to battle, when a person goes out to war, he's left his family behind. His job is to kill. His job is to do things that are destroying his Edelkeit. You know, there was I think Golda Meir once said that she forgives the Arabs for wanting to kill Jews, but she could never forgive the Arabs for making Jews have to kill the Arabs. To take a Jew who is naturally a kind, compassionate person and make him have to kill other people, that is something that is really destroying his natural character. Here we have a person who is a Talmud Chochem, who is a tzaddik. The Pasuk says that he doesn't have any chet. Yeah, and the Pasuk says later on, how do we determine who goes out to war? Yoav Rachalev, who's Yoav Rachalev? A person who doesn't have any sin. A person who's a Talmud Chochem. The Gemara says, even a person who, you're talking about a person who is so careful that he doesn't have Hesach Hadas. He doesn't, he's totally focused when he's putting on his tefillin Shaliyad Tefillin Sharosh. Yeah? We're dealing with a Tzadik Gomel. You know, there used to be a pantomime in time of the Maskilim, in time of the Reform. They used to make fun of what a Jewish war looked like. He used to make fun, and he used to fill up the stage with all tough-looking people, right? And the person would stand up there. The Maskilim is a well-known thing. He used to stand up, and he used to say, okay, who is a person who, you know, built a new home, leave? And there's people stand up and they'll go. And those people who got up, just got married, get up and leave. Another few people go. And who's a person eventually, who's a person who has any sins? Huh. Everyone else will go and there'll be this old little rabbi there, with it all bent over, with a 90 years old, with a big beard, and he'll be standing there. And everyone would laugh. That was not the end of the story. The end of the story was, the rabbi went out and made war and he won. Better than that, they never put in. Right? So here's Yoav Rachalevov, this tzaddik, this godlador, is going out to make war, right? And he's ending up with this, I don't know, with this Turkish beauty. I don't know, a Swedish, I don't know what he's going to make war with.
Yetzirah
was, so what's going on over here? What happened to this Talmud Chochem? What happened to him? The answer is, he's in a strange environment. He's in a strange society. He's out of his norm. But Mokhlin Shabbalit Shuvah Oimdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Micholim Lamad. What does that mean? In a place where it's normally translates to mean, in Gan Eden, in a place where Balit Shuvah stand is going to be so great, a Tzadik can't stand there. But some people explain it like this. A Balit Shuvah is in his, he knows where he's come from, the society that he's in, he's aware of, and that he's able to protect himself in that society. A Tzadik Gomel, who's been brought up in the and he'd call it the ghettos of Mesh Orem or Bnei Brak, if he'd go to where the Baal Tshuva was, he'd go be completely lost. So B'mokish Baal Tshuva Oimdim ain't sneaking Gemurim Echolim Lamed, where Baal Tshuva stands in his society, knows how to deal with it. It's Tzadik who's taken from his society and thrown there in the middle of Sodom and Amorah, he can't survive there. And after this week, you've taken Tzadik and thrown him into the middle of a war. Now what's he going to do? The Pasuk tells us, I'm just telling you, this guy is going to lose everything. He's going to come back and start doing Averis, then he's going to get the guilt, and look at me, within a few days I've lost everything, and he's going to, Rahman al-Islam, completely turn over and realize that he how low he is. So the Pasuk tells us over here, there are certain situations where it's very, very difficult to finally get Yetzirah. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to help you deal with the Yetzirah. I'm not saying this also. Don't mind, take her home, but slow down, let's go through this in a way where you start using your head, and then take her there for 30 days, and eventually, if you want to keep her, it's not the greatest thing, I'm just telling you, you're going to hate her, you're going to have a terrible children, but if you want to keep her, but in a situation where the Yetzirah is so strong, if a person says, no, I'm not going to do the Yetzer Hara, then that may be sometimes too difficult for the person. It may be sometimes too difficult. What the Torah tells us over here is, in a situation where a person has incredible desire, delay it. You know what? I'll do this in 10 minutes' time. In 10 minutes, another 10 minutes, and another 10 minutes, and eventually you realize, come on, this is ridiculous, this is silly. This is silly, it's not worth it. That's what's going on over here. The Torah is not giving in to the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is dealing with the Yetzer Hara in a way that is going to save this tzaddik from falling in the reshet, from falling down in the future. That's what's going on over here. That's what the Zayin HaTorah says. Rav Tzvi Hirschfeber, and the Chassid Sofer as well, also brings this up. He says, if you look in the pasuk, there's an interesting diyukim. The pasuk says, "V'reisa b'shivya eishes yifastoya." You see it in the captivity in eishes yifastoya. V'choshakto bo, and you'll have cheshek for her. Yeah. Okay. Loosely translated, how does he translate v'choshakto bo there?
Which pasuk?
In pasuk Chof Aleph, Perik Chof Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph.
Thou hast desire.
Okay, it's a good old Silverman. Yeah, thou hast desire. So it's desire. Okay, carry on. The pasuk says later on, in pasuk Yudalud, v'hoya imloi chofatsta bo. How did he translate chofatsta bo? Pasuk Yudalud?
Oh, Yudalud, excuse me. Delightest in her.
Delightest in her. Okay, so there we have desire and delight. Okay?
That changed. Is the
difference. So he says it starts off with choshakto cheshek, and then he goes on to chayfetz. Okay, is there anywhere else that you can remember in the Torah where it uses the lashon cheshek and chayfetz? In the Torah, Rabbi Isai, this is by the story of Dino. Dino gets captured by Shechem. Okay? Dino gets captured by Shechem. And the father of Shechem, the father of Chamor, Shechem ben Chamor, comes along and he says to Yaakov Avinu, says to the brothers, he says a Loshen, Shechem b'ni choshko nafshoi. Shechem b'ni choshko nafshoi has a cheshek. Yeah? Has a cheshek for your daughter. Now, what does cheshek mean? So cheshek...
desired.
Cheshek is a desire. Yeah? But the pasuk says... The pasuk says... Rak ba'avisecho choshak Hashem. Also to your father's choshak Hashem. Hashem does not have a desire. Kosh Baruch does not have chalila, anything gashmi. It's all ruchni. Therefore, cheshek is ruchni. It is a desire that is based on ruchnius. It is a desire that is based on a real want of ruchnius to connect. That is cheshek. Right? So what did Shechem say? My son, it's not looking at having some kind of animalistic fulfillment. He has a cheshek. He wants to connect with the Am Nivcho. He wants to be connected to such a wonderful family. So he has a choshko nafshoi. He has a cheshek to be connected. This is ruchnius. Ah, what a special son I have. So what's the pasuk say? How did they go over it? They said, okay, everyone should do bris milah. What does the pasuk say? Lo icha harnar last over hazeh. The narus, the idiot, yeah, did not hesitate. Why? Ki chafetz bebas Yaakov, because he had a chafetz. He had a physical desire. Now, what's the difference? When a person has an animalistic desire, he doesn't allow his brain to work. When a person has a spiritual desire, a real spiritual desire, then on the contrary, he uses his mind to understand when is it right and when is it not right. And when it, even if it is right, it could be not now, it could be later. And therefore, it showed us The fact that he was so passionate, had such an animalistic passion, like Ichana, he went with a blind craziness to make everyone do bris mila. You saw it was a chayfetz. You saw it was a animalistic, gashmis desire rather than that's going on over here. That's what you see by the Shechem. So too over here in this parasha, we have here a person who goes to war. And this person actually is, as we discussed beforehand, a tzaddik. A Yorev Racha Levov. He has no Averus. He's a tzaddik. And he believes he really is holding that level. And he goes along and he sees Yifas Toya. Right? Says a pasuk, V'reisa v'sheva eishas v'as toya v'choshak tobo. And you have a cheshik. Cheshik, we said beforehand, is a ruchnias cheshik. What's a ruchnias cheshik? He thinks to himself, oh, these Jewish women, these Jewish princesses, what they need in order for me to be able to keep them happy, their shoes for Yom Tov, and he got his flowers for Shabbos, and I've got to work so hard, I've got to book so much extra hours in the office in order to keep them going. You know what? Let's get this simple tribeswoman, yeah, that doesn't expect very much. She's used to these mud huts, right? I can marry her, and she'll be very happy with a bit of bread and water, and I can sit and learn the rest of the time. This is ultimately a very much a ruchnius cheshik that I have. Cheshak the boy, I have a ruchnius cheshik. And the truth is, says a posuk, you know what? Dodre Yaakov. Yeah? It's not true. Yeah? This is not ruchnius. What happens is, let her be in your house for a whole day, and every you got to trip over her, you got to come in the house, you go out of the house. You realize that it really, actually, when things calm down a bit, this is not your ruchnius talking. This is your animalistic desires, and therefore, you get rid of all the animalistic desires. You allow her around the house. You come back, and your wife says, "Who have you brought home? Who is this? Are you crazy? What's going?" And your kids start, "Dad, come on, grow up. What's going on here?" Right? And they see, and he suddenly start realizing what's going on. Says a pasuk, "V'hoyo im loicha fatzdabo." If it was not the chayfetz that brought her in the first time, if it was not the chayfetz, in other words, if it wasn't the chayfetz, if it wasn't your physical desire, then the shulchan nafsho, then it will be that, and it, what was it actually? Your spiritual desire, the shulchan, the beis, and you'll get rid of her. And therefore, that's real. That's real. That is a koyach of delay. So therefore, the whole idea of your fast toya is not giving into the Eitz Sahara. It's delaying the Eitz Sahara. It's saying, if I give in, if I chas v'chalila do an aver now, I'm going to lose everything, aver, and therefore delay it. With a delay, it turns from a cheshek. You realize it's not a cheshek, it's a chayfetz. Yeah? It's not a cheshek, it's a chayfetz. It is really, mi ish a chofetz chayim. Yeah? He wanted to bring people in. Who wants a chofetz chayim? Who wants to have, as animalistic? And they realize it's not, you can change it to oivam niros toiv. And so you can change it into real life. That is a koyach of delay to get the clarity of where you really are and who you really are. That's a cheshek turning into, and realizing it's a chayfetz. On the contrary though, it's possible if a person has premeditated avera is much worse than blind lust. In other words, there's an interesting tshuva in the Chasam Sefer. I don't want to go into the story because obviously a lot of people hear this, but there's a situation where it was clear, and one tshuva is the Chasam Sefer, it was clear that there was a relationship between a man and a woman that was not based on momentary lust. It was a premeditated avera. Yeah, it was something that was being processed, and what person wanted to send the one side to the mikveh before they did avera. And when the Chasam Sefer heard about this, he was furious. He said, if a person does an avera through blind lust, that's ein odem oisa avera ela inkein boi nichnas boi ruach shtus. A person is crazy. He has momentary insanity. You can forgive a person for craziness. But when it's premeditated, when it's thought through, and a person does an avera very calmly, yeah, he planned this. A lot of planning went into the avera. It's a lot worse. It's a lot worse. That's pshat, says Reb Tzvi Hirschfeber. It says later on, who you can marry, who you can't marry. And one of the people you can't marry, one of the groups of people you can't marry, is he cannot marry an Ammonium or Ovi. Yeah? Look in Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Dalud. Layovi Ammoni or Miyovi Bekal Hashem. They can't come into Kal Hashem. Gam Doir Asiri, even 10th generation, Layovi Lehem Bekal Hashem, ad Oilam forever. Why not? Why can't you marry an Ammonium or Ovi forever? Al Devar Ashle Kidmu Eschem Belechem Mai. On the matter, translated loosely, that they did not come to bring you bread and water when you left Mitzrayim, and they hide Bilam Ben Ba'or. Okay. We discussed in previous years, it's like saying, they did not bring you cake and tea when you moved into the house, and they hide a hitman to shoot you. I mean, it's a big space between the two things. That's a previous shurim, how one thing turns into the other, something else. But what's Pshat Al-Davar? You should say, they can't come, Dora Siri. Asher lekidma eschem lechemayim. What's the words Al-Davar on the words? Said the Svihish Feber. This was not a something that happened from one day to the next and they did not do something. Al-Davar means there was a vote in the parliament at that time. How should we deal with this? There was a committee that sat down and decided on Devar. There was a masa matan, there was a discussion over here, how should we deal with the Jewish issue? How should we deal with these people? And there's a Devar, there was a discussion here. In other words, it was premeditated or thought through. When it's premeditated and thought through, it's much, much worse. Why? Because as we said beforehand, we expect you, after thinking through something carefully, you should realize that it's not a religious thing, it's not a chayfetz, it's not a cheshek, it's a chayfetz. Realize that you're doing stupid things. If you, after all that, you realize, if after all that, you come to the conclusion that it's actually a good thing to do something terrible, that makes it so much worse. So it's not, if they would just have done something, never brought up bread and water, is one thing, but Al-Davar, that it was a discussion, and there was a decision, and there was a vote, and that's what we decided to do, that's so much worse. And therefore you see that the power of delay is so strong that we want to expect people to change, and if it don't change, it's so much worse. He says that's Peshat by Shechem as well. By Shechem, he says Vahoya, they all did Bris Mila. Yeah, they all did Bris Mila. And the Bris Mila, Baruch Hashem, had a baby who was born to me yesterday. And you know, when you first had the baby, I think the mother bonds with the baby. Obviously, she's going through a pregnancy, and every time it feels a baby kick, you know, there's a bond that a mother has. But the father has a far more distant relationship with the baby, and there's no real physical connection until, you know, you actually see the baby born, right? You actually see the baby in front of you, hold the baby. That is a physical connection you have, which you haven't had beforehand. And it's true. And it's true that it'd be much easier to do the Bris Mila the first day or the second day after birth than waiting a whole week, 8 days, where you've actually begun to bond with the baby, you've held the baby, you actually feel a strong connection, and then do the Bris Mila. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, I don't want you to do something unpremeditated. I want you to bond with a baby. I want you to have a relationship with a baby. And after 8 days, when you've decided that you actually want to do Bris Mila, it means so much more to me than just, best born, let's do the Bris Mila. It doesn't prove very much. With Shechem, they flew into this Bris Mila. Oh, this big Yetzirah. Waited 3 days, Visam Koyavim, and they were paining. They were in pain. Why do we do what we did? This was so silly. Their Bris Mila was done and they had regrets. We go into Bris Mila premeditated. That is what we want to do, and that's why it means so much more. This is the difference between thinking through something carefully. And if Chalila, a person uses the time and comes out with the wrong conclusion, and he decides that Beshitta we're going to carry on with the wrong we've done, it's so much worse. The Chasam Sefer, just two more. The Chasam Sefer says that as a parasha deals with tshuva, there's a very, very important message. Two important messages that one has to understand about going to war. Yeah? The Pasuk says, when you go out to war, there's a whole process, as we discussed beforehand, of what Klal Yisrael would go through in order to weed out those people who are not fitting. that? No, no, 6 weeks.
Yeah. Shechan Choy Bais.
Yeah.
Shisha.
Sorry.
Just before Shviya.
Bear with me a second. Yeah, 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 sorry, that's right. It's the end of last week's parasha in a Perek Chof, Pasuk K. It says, Mi'a Shechof, it's, yeah. Just one second. No, no. Yeah. Whoever, yeah, it talks about who shouldn't go out to battle, and talks about Ashabona Bayis Chodosh, who builds a Bayis Chodosh. Yeah, then this week's parasha, as well in Perek Chof Dalet, talks also about going out to war, and talks about when you get married. Good, don't put those two things together. But he says, "Kiyikach ish isha chadasha." Yeah, Perek Chof Dalet posuk. Okay, when a man marries a woman, la yetsay betzavo, he should not go out to war like his previous parasha we discussed. But la yavor olav lachol davo. And he should not pass over for any matter, which means not only go out to war itself, but it means he should not even be in the background, helping the army efforts. Noki yele beso, you should be clean, as it were, at home. Shana achas 1 year. V'simich es ishto eshalokach, and delight the wife that he took. Okay. The Chasleifa brings out many places in this parasha that the wife that one's discussing it, isho kisien el ishtei noshim. Like early on in the parasha, the two women is actually the Yetzahara and the Yetzahatoiv. And therefore he says, Ki yikach ish isha chadosha, when a person is going out doing tshuva, and he's decided to turn over a new leaf, and he's taking an isha chadosha, he's taking over a new woman in his life, he's taking over a new focus on making a difference in how he follows, go through with his life, he decides to do tshuva. Lo yetzeh b'tzava. Number one, he has to remember, don't go out to the army. Don't go out with the same gang that you've been hanging out with in the past. Don't be associated with the same troublemakers that have brought you into trouble all the way in the time. When a person wants to make a new start, number one, the Yetzer B'Tzavah. Don't go and hang out with the same people that you've been hanging out till now, because they're going to pull you back. Number one. Number two, V'layavo Olav L'chol Dovo. Make sure that you're not over even on the smallest minhagim. Because if a person opens up the tiniest crack in the dam, then everything can fall apart. Be very careful. Even the small things, minhagim, small things, be very makpid on every small halacha. Because you never know. Avera gereres avera. One little avera can bring you onto another thing. So v'layavu olav l'chol davar. Anything you do, be careful not to be over on. And that's number two. Number three. Noki yele beisei shona achas. Be consistent. Be consistent, constantly on guard. Not one day like this or one day like that. Be not shana achas, which means every day for a whole year, you should be completely clean. Make sure that there are times that you are completely aware of what's going on. Don't have, you know, one day this, one day that. Noki lebe shana achas, be completely consistent. And the most important thing, for simeich es ishtoya shalokach, be happy with your avoda. Because if you're not happy, if a person does these things begrudgingly, it's not possible for a person to be consistent. A person has to be happy. A person has to realize the fantastic hanor, the fantastic life he gets in this world and the next by doing tshuva. Noki yile beisoi. And finally it says, Mesimeches ishtoi. The last vot I'd like to say over from Svi Hishverbe, he says at the end of the parasha, it talks about when a person becomes impure. V'hoyle eis erev. Second. Yeah, in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud, also going out to Kiseitse Machno Levecho, when you're going to make war on your enemy. V'nishmal to be called over all, be careful. Is a long term, in as far as saying that he is Tommy, because he wants to be careful and lush in the kia every careful, you know, be as careful as one can not to use words that are too harsh. Mikra Laila, V'yos mechutz machne le'yovel toich ha'machne, talking about him becoming impure. For hoya lifneis erev, and he'll come towards the evening, yirachatz b'mayim, he should wash himself in water, kuvoya ha'shemesh, when the sun comes, yovel toich ha'machne, come into the machne. So, Ritzvi Hishverba says he like to use this as a posuk to remind us of our avoda in Chodesh El, and use it through a derech of moshel, through a moshel. He said, what's a moshel? He says, a shadchan is a matchmaker. He's out there to make money, to make matches, and to make shidduchim. And he goes from city to city, to village to village, to connect people from one to the other who don't know each other, and that's his job. One time, this professional matchmaker comes into town, and he finds that the rabbi has a son who's a very, very special, very talented boy, a real Yirei Shemayim, and is looking to stay in learning. He's looking to stay in learning, looking for support, looking for somebody who's going to help him to fulfill his dreams. He wants to stay in learning. So this shadchan tells the rabbi, I must tell you that there's a family in a few villages across who's a man who's got a very, very good job. He's very generous, and he's looking for a good son-in-law, and he's willing to support him. He's willing to support him, and he'll give a lot of money in order for the son to be able to sit and learn. The daughter's a very, very fine girl, and it's worthwhile. So fine, let's find out about this. So this boy goes on a horse and wagon, and he travels over to the next village, and he meets the father, very nice person, meets a girl, very nice girl, and the father puts the money in escrow. When they get married, he'll have the money, and everyone's happy. They send the invitations out from far and wide. People come from all over. Invitations come for the day of the chasna, and everyone's already moved into the town. The chasna's called for, the chuppah's called for 6 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, there's a crisis. In the town, there's a crisis. What's a crisis? The crisis is that the governor of the town, his chimney has become blocked. His chimney is blocked. And the all the fire is coming, is pouring. Instead of pouring out the chimney, it's pouring into the house, and it's destroying the house. And this powerful governor of the town needs it to be fixed. Fate has it that the father of the Kala, who was actually had a very good job, who actually was willing to sponsor this boy, was the village chimney sweep. The village chimney sweep. And he made a very good business, but obviously it was not particularly clean. Yeah, it was not a white collar kind of work. And he was called out from his house. The governor calls him immediately to come and fix his chimney. So he says, listen, yeah, it's probably an easy job. I've got 2 hours till the wedding. Okay, off I go. He says, find somebody else. Nope, you have to come. Fine. Gets in his thing, brings his tools with him. And he arrives in the house at 4:30, 4:45. He starts trying to get the thing, trying to clear the chimney. And this is verstopft in ganzen. This is completely blocked up. This is a really tough job. And he's pushing and he's squeezing and tick-tock, the time goes over. And he said, can I leave it? No, you can't leave. You started the job now, what? My whole house is going to be filthy now. You bet it's all over the carpets now. You got to finish this. But I've got to marry my daughter. Doesn't matter. You're here now. You don't. I'm telling you, I'll beat you and you beat your family. I'll put you all in jail and I'll kill your horse. Please, no, finish off. And he's going up there and he's up the chimney. And unbelievable. And he comes down, eventually he pops it all the way through, the little brush hits the top of the chimney, out it comes, the fire starts pouring out there. But, Rabbi Yisai, it's 6:30. And it's 6:30, everyone has already, even the those people aren't very yekish, already reached out the chasna, and everyone's there, and already hears, everyone's waiting for the guy to come, for the father of the bride to come. He hasn't come yet, and people are looking at the watch. Listen, we've got to move on. What should we do? And he already hears He already hears the singing, and they're already leading the color towards the chuppah, right? And already the chosan is already coming. He said, "Well, I'm going to miss my daughter's wedding," and he comes there completely covered in top to toe in black and soot. And the chosan's family had no idea it was a chimney sweep. Get rid of this guy. Who is this guy? So we're talking about this is a color's father, and he comes there. Terrible. Everyone he shakes hands with a white shirt, so he got a big soot marks. Embarrassment. Embarrass his family, embarrass his daughter. Terrible. terrible. This was a man, this was a father, the Gvir that we talked about, that is going to support my son. And Nebuch, this poor cousin of poor Kala, wanted to call off the wedding, and I never realized I'd go into the... Terrible, very, very sad. Kala's terribly embarrassed, she didn't know where to put herself. Says Swedish Faber like this, that Rabbi say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a beautiful neshama. Neshama that is given to us, which is pure, and he's made a marriage between us. He's made a marriage between our guf and our neshama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Yom HaDin, let's reassess where we're going. Let's reassess what's happening over here. Let's reassess whether this marriage is a good marriage. Let's reassess whether I can allow the guf to be married to such a neshama. And we set a date for the wedding. We set a date to see whether the shidduch is a good shidduch. And we promise wonderful things. The guf tells the neshama, I'll look after you, I'll care for you, you just do whatever you need to do, I'll be careful, I'll make sure that you're fed, I'll make sure everything's done. And we agree to the shidduch. And it comes towards the end of Elul, and we haven't done what we should be doing, and it comes to the day of the Chasam Rosh Hashanah, and we come black, filthy with Averis to the wedding day. Black, filthy with Averis. How embarrassing is that? How embarrassing is that? And how much better we would feel if we had a proper shower, getting rid of all our Averis, and we purify ourselves before we meet up with the Kodesh Baruch Hu Yom HaDin, and we stand in front of Melech Malchim Melochim and say, Rabbeinu Shleilim, here we are to be reunited with you. For Hoya Lifnois Erev, and it will come towards the evening, towards the end of the year, when it's already getting towards dusk. Yirchatz B'mayim, wash yourself in water, purify yourself. Ukuboya Shemesh, and when the day of judgment, the hot day, when the sun comes, in other words, Yom HaDin comes, Yovo Yol Toicha Machne, you can come without any sin into the Machne, come into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without having any embarrassment. That is our Avodah. Our Avodah during the year is to take the Yetzer Hara and to deal with the Yetzer Hara, to push it off, to as much as we can, to delay the desire that we have. And through this delay, we will see that the cheshek is really a chefetz. It's not ruchnius, it's gashmius, it's pure animalistic desire. And then a person has ability to reassess, and chalila not to go along and continue his path al-davar, on a matter of deciding that's the correct thing to do. And then when one wants to do tshuva, we have to do it in a way that is disassociating ourselves with our past, to be careful with every little din, to make sure that we are consistent in what we're doing, the right things, and to be happy with what we're doing. That's the states of Mulcham Alevecho. And eventually, if you do all these things, we can come into Boya Shemesh, we come into Rosh Hashanah, we can purify ourselves and come into Boya Machan in a time with no embarrassment, with only, Ezra Hashem, pride to be associated and having Shidduch with the Kodesh Baruch.
Oh,